They probably weren't talking about the chariot races in Rome. They probably weren't talking about trivialities like most men do in our day. What do we talk about? We talk about politics, religion, sports, things that are of interest to us. I don't think that's what they talked about. I think Jesus began the process of making these men disciples right there that day. And he started teaching them how that he was the fulfillment of the Word of God. John said that you're the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Can you explain that to us? They wanted to know. They investigated the claims of Christ. They wanted to know who he was and what he taught. And I may have already mentioned this too, but it's so amazing to me that a recent survey says 87% of people say they would welcome a Christian who wanted to discuss Christianity with them. When we introduce people to Jesus, we need to help them investigate the claims of Christ. You know, as Baptists, we're taught to plow the ground, put in the seed, cultivate it, and harvest it all in one time. One fell swoop. Get them in the baptistry, dunk them, put them on the church roll. Ha! We're done! That's not what happened here. There's a process. People need, especially in our culture, need to have time to investigate the claims of Christ. And have you noticed, they're not flooding in here to investigate the claims of Christ. The church will have to go out and help them investigate the claims of Christ. We'll have to go out and plow the ground. We'll have to go out and plant the seed. We'll have to go out and minister to the lives of people and give them the opportunity to ask the questions. And when we do, then God will speak through his word and through us as we share our faith with our friends, family, acquaintances, so forth. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." Secondly, look at verse 39 again. Look what Jesus said. What did he say? First word. John chapter 1, verse 39. Ready? Come. That is a powerful word. Come. Rabbi, where are you staying? He said, come and see. Come. So he invited them to come. The second step in the process is the invitation of Christ. The invitation to follow Christ. Jesus went around in Galilee, gathering up his disciples. He says, come and follow me. Now, you know, I got to thinking about this. This picture that I've had of when Jesus was walking along this shore there and he called out to Philip, follow me. Now, let's put this into a modern setting. Let's say there's a man out here at Ezel Aviation. And somebody comes by and says, hey, follow me. What do you think is going to happen to that guy? He's going to look. Hey, Chad, who's that weirdo? He said, follow me. I don't know where the sucker's going. I'm not going to follow him anywhere. And I've always had this picture in my mind that just because Jesus is who he is, just because he is who he is, that men would be out there mending their nets or they'd be out there working on an airplane and Jesus said, follow me, and they just drop everything and just follow him. That is not what happened. I don't think that's what happened. I think that when Andrew and the other disciple and others who had heard of Jesus and the word that John was proclaiming, because of what God was doing through John, because of what God was doing through the disciples, when they said, that's the one that Andrew said is the Messiah. And when the Messiah then came by, then when Jesus said, come, the Spirit of God compelled them to go. But if Jesus had never been heard of, had never been on the shores of Galilee, if he'd never been there, there's been no exposure of him at all, I think they'd have just looked at him and said, just another one of these guys walking around wanting some followers. And there were plenty of them in Jesus' day. There has to be a process. There has to be an introduction. There has to be investigation. Investigation was going on in this community. And when Jesus came by and invited those who had heard, that then they started following him. And what if Jesus would have said, you know, Andrew, whoever the other guy was, I'm busy. I'll just have to see if I can make an appointment in a see if you can. I can work you in. You think they'd have continued to follow him? Isn't that what we do? I'm too busy. I don't have time to fool with people who want to know Jesus. Why don't you try it? Why not invite your friends to investigate the claims of Christ? Why not, when God burdens you in your heart that you have an opportunity to plow or to sow or to reap in the lives of other people, invite them and they will come. Now let's go to the next step. Look at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. See, Simon Peter had heard. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus. So you see what the first thing was, he started to imitate Christ, the imitation of Christ. There's the investigation of the claims of Christ. There's the investigation. There's the invitation, and now there's an imitation of Christ that's beginning to happen in Andrew when he got his brother. The word Christian means Christ-like. Like Christ. Jesus came to give us an example to follow. And he gave us a mission. He gave us the supreme objective of life, to make disciples. And as we saw last week, Jesus delights in people being saved. He joys in gathering worshipers of God together with him eternally. He draws disciples to himself as he drew Andrew to himself through the John the Baptist's message. He then invites us to follow him. When we follow him, then he teaches us to imitate him. Does your life imitate Christ? I said, well, I want it to. Where do I start? Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see how it is that we can imitate Christ. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul writes this. He says, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper! Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Amen? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another in the fear of Christ. Is that not the lifestyle of a worshiper? Is that not the lifestyle of a disciple of Christ? That is a beautiful, beautiful example of how we are to live. And so the process is successful. Making disciples is successful when the life of Christ, the very life of Christ, is becoming a reality. It is implemented in the life of a disciple. And so the fourth thing I wanted just to share with you this morning is the implementation of Christ's life in ministry. And I just want to make a few suggestions how you can get that started or restarted. Number one, be trained as a witness. Learn how to share your faith. Every Christian needs to know how to share their faith. Every Christian has a testimony. You may not have had a Damascus Road experience. You might not have been blinded by a light from heaven, but you have a testimony. Your testimony is the most powerful tool that you have to share with those who do not know Christ. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall be my witnesses." That's your purpose. You are my witnesses. Secondly, find out what your spiritual gifts are. Everybody is given gifts. According to Scripture, everybody has gifts. And those gifts are given you by God for the sole purpose of making disciples. They're not given to you so to make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. They're not given to you for just your benefit. They're given to you so that the very life of Christ can be lived through your life for the making of disciples. For the planting, sowing, cultivating, reaping the harvest. I've been through several teachings on spiritual gifts. I've been in churches where they thought about spiritual gifts, and the majority of people think it's all about them. That their spiritual gifts are for their benefit and not the benefit of others. Remember what Jesus said? "I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." So find out what your gifts are. Number three, get involved in ministry. What do I do? Don't worry. There's plenty to do. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to be involved according to your giftedness in ministry. Then fourthly, and maybe this is should have been the first one. I don't know what the order ought to be in this. But the fourth one is, become a theologian. Be a student of the Bible. Because if you're going to work in God's harvest field, you need to be ever increasing in your understanding of who God is and how to relate to Him. And you also need to have a growing understanding of who people are and how to minister to them. You got to have both. You have to have your vertical relationship growing in the Lord. And then you have to have an ongoing influence in the lost world that God has called you to as a disciple of His. And so where would you put yourself this morning in these four things that I've shared with you this morning? Are you investigating the claims of Christ? Are you still trying to figure it out? I was reading My Utmost for His Highest this week, which is, by the way, a great devotional book to use. And he asked the question in one of those, have you received anything from God? I'm letting that be quiet for a minute on purpose. Being a Christian is not attending church. Being a Christian is not teaching a Sunday school class, or being a preacher, or being a musician, or feeling any duty in the church. That's not being a Christian. Being a Christian is knowing God. Have you received anything from God? Giving mental assent to the claims of Christ is what I'm beginning to consider a convert. The people can see the benefits of living a Christian lifestyle at that level of understanding by doing what's right, by being moral, by doing good works. There's benefit in that. But have you received from the Lord the Spirit of God? Has God brought you to the place that you hate sin and that you want more than anything than your own very life, that you want God more than anything and you want to serve Him more than anything? That's why Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Have you received from the Lord the precious free gift of salvation? If you have, it ought to make an impact on your life. It ought to give you a yearning, a longing in your heart to know God and to make Him known. And then perhaps there are some here this morning that Christ, as a result of the gospel and the times that you've heard the gospel, the times you've been exposed to the Word of God, even this morning, that Christ Himself, by His own Spirit, is inviting you to come. To come to Him. And in doing so, you've come to a place that you're willing to turn away from yourself and doing life your way, turning away from religion, turning away from just going through the motions and just playing church, and turning to Christ and say, oh God, save me. That's the invitation that some may be receiving this morning. And some of you may have in your heart the desire to be an imitator of Christ, to be a disciple, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and to be used in ministry to discover your gifts and to get involved in Great Commission service and work, W-O-R-K. And stop just being a spectator. Stop just being a consumer of the gospel and start being a proclaimer of the gospel. And then some of you are eager, there's a few of you who are eager now to and are already involved in implementing the claims of Christ, implementing the gospel of Christ in ministry, and thank God for every one of you. But the majority of us, beloved, need to become faithful followers of Christ and find in Him everything you're looking for. Find in Him the total sufficiency, the total everything that brings satisfaction and meaning to life. Listen, if this is all there is to life, is just making money, building your retirement, raising your kids, and then dying, there's more to that. God created you to know Him, and to be a worshiper of God, and to find in Him life.